Roymans Product Management Podcast. Making effective product decisions. Tips for deciding with stakeholders and development teams. I'm a big fan of making decisions collaboratively, as it leverages the expertise of the stakeholders and dev teams, it creates a shared understanding, and it generates stronger buy-in. But deciding together can be challenging. The most senior stakeholder might try to dictate the decision, for example. The group might shy away from difficult conversations, or people might get stuck in endless debates without knowing how and when a decision will be made. This podcast episode shares 8 practical tips to help you avoid these pitfalls and harness the full power of collaborative decision making. Tip number 1. Be clear on when to involve the stakeholders and development teams. You can, and you should, make many business as usual decisions on your own. However, complex and high impact decisions are best made together with the stakeholders and development teams. There are 2 main reasons for this. First, you usually require people's expertise to help you tackle complex issues, for instance, to understand technical risks or the impact on the ability to market and sell the product. Second, you need strong support from the stakeholders and dev team members for high impact decisions, in order to ensure that they are actually followed through. And the reason for this is that you usually lack transactional power. You can't make the stakeholders and teams adhere to a decision. You can't tell people what to do. The good news is that a collaborative decision-making process shows the individual that you value their input, and it provides them with the opportunity to influence the decision. This, in turn, makes it more likely that they will support and implement the decision. When should you then involve the stakeholders and dev teams? Well, as a rule of thumb, I'd suggest that you involve the individuals in decisions that affect the product strategy and the product roadmap, be it that you create the plans or that you make bigger changes to them. Examples of the latter include deciding if you should pivot, if you should address a new market or market segment, if you should retire a product, and if you should replace the product goals or change the dates on the product roadmap. Additionally, engage the development team members in product backlog decisions and always choose sprint goals together. Tip number 2, bring the right people together. To ensure that the right decision is made and that it receives the necessary support, carefully consider who should be involved in the decision-making process. Then invite the right people to a collaborative workshop, no matter if it takes place online or on-site. A joint workshop creates transparency. It allows the individuals to learn about each other's perspectives and interests, and it frees you from having to go forth and back between the individual stakeholders and dev teams until an agreeable proposal has finally been found. If you are unsure which stakeholders you should involve, then carry out a stakeholder analysis, for example, using Ackermann and Eden's Power Interest Grid. The grid encourages you to divide the stakeholders into 4 groups depending on how much interest they have in the product and how much influence they have on product decisions. The groups have their own names, and they're called crowd, subjects, context setters, and players. And once you have analyzed the stakeholders, then focus on the players. These are the individuals whose input you need to make the right decision, who help you progress and offer the product, and who are affected by the product and its ability to create value. For a revenue-generating product, these are typically people from marketing, sales, support, and finance. And if you work with several development teams, then ask each team to send 1 or 2 representatives to the workshop. And I find it useful to have UX design, architecture, programming, and testing skills present to make the right decision. And in a scaled environment where you share product ownership, involve the other product people who work with you. For example, feature owners, depending on the scaling approach you use. My 3rd tip is to use a dedicated facilitator. When you bring people together to make a decision, getting the individuals to engage in a constructive conversation can be challenging, as you might have experienced yourself. Some individuals might enjoy sharing their ideas so much that they won't stop talking, while others might be shy and reluctant to contribute, and senior members might expect that their suggestions are followed by everyone. Additionally, you are usually required to actively contribute to the decision and share your expertise as the person in charge of the product. And I therefore recommend using a dedicated, skilled facilitator who runs the meeting and facilitates the decision-making process. This might be your Scrum Master, assuming that the role is filled and that the individual has the necessary skills. The facilitator should establish some ground rules, help people embrace a collaborative mindset, create an environment where people feel safe to speak their minds, encourage everyone to fully participate and prevent individuals from dominating, ensure that an appropriate decision rule has been chosen, and guide everyone through the decision-making process. And I find that having a dedicated facilitator can be especially useful in an online environment where people may need more encouragement to fully participate. Tip number four, lead by example. Deciding together becomes difficult when people act in self-centered ways and aim to maximize their personal gain. If people seek to dominate the discussion, or if they believe that they know best and that their idea must win. What's needed to develop an inclusive solution and reach a sustainable agreement is a collaborative mindset. I therefore recommend that you lead by example as the person in charge of the product, that you embrace such a collaborative attitude, and show that you value the ideas and perspectives of the stakeholders and team members. The following three practices will help you with this. First, show a genuine interest in the perspectives and needs of all attendees, no matter how senior or junior they might be. Secondly, actively listen to the individuals, give everyone your full attention, and appreciate their contributions even if you disagree. Finally, keep an open mind. While it is important that you have your own perspective and ideas, hold them lightly. Try to cultivate a receptive and curious attitude and be open to what the stakeholders and development team members have to say. Note that attentively listening and open-mindedness do not imply approval, but it makes the other person feel understood and appreciated. What's more, it is likely to free you from being biased towards your own preconceived ideas and help you take full advantage of the collective wisdom of the group in order to make the best possible decision. Tip number five, decide how to decide. Imagine that you're asking the stakeholders and development team members at the end of a collaborative strategy workshop. Is everyone okay with changing the needs statement in the product strategy? Because nobody says anything, you assume that everybody agrees with you. But in reality, people are still thinking about the suggestion. To make things worse, it's not clear who has the final say on product strategy changes. Is it you, everyone present, or possibly the management sponsor? Choosing a decision rule avoids these issues. Such a rule clearly states who decides and how you can tell that the decision has been made. There are four common decision rules that facilitate group decisions. First, unanimity. And that means that everyone agrees with the proposed solution and is happy to endorse it. Second, consent. And that means that nobody disapproves and has any meaningful objections. Everybody can live with the decision. Third, majority and supermajority. Majority vote means that more than half of the people are required to agree with a proposed solution, and supermajority requires a greater agreement and more support, such as 2/3 or 75%. And fourth, the product person decides after discussion. And this means that once everybody has been heard and a shared understanding of the different ideas and concerns have been established, the person in charge of the product, that is you, makes the decision. Now note that each rule has its strengths and weaknesses. None is always appropriate. For example, unanimous agreement generates strong support for important product decisions. Achieving it, however, can take a comparatively long time. Now, when you contrast this with the rule the product person decides after discussion, then you'll find that this one is much quicker to apply. But it may not generate particularly strong buy-in if your decision does not consider the suggestions of the stakeholders and development teams. My sixth tip is not to rush important product decisions. It can be tempting trying to quickly solve an issue and make a decision, but it does take time to leverage the collective wisdom of a group and solve a complex or a high-impact issue. You will therefore benefit from taking the following steps to arrive at a decision that everyone can understand and support. So there are three steps that I'd like to share with you. And the first one is gather diverse perspectives. And this step entails that you make sure that everybody clearly understands the issue that should be addressed. And then you ask people to share their perspectives, come up with ideas, and voice any concerns they might have. And it's essential that everyone can contribute and is being listened to. This makes people feel valued and involved, and it allows you to collect different ideas and perspectives. So resist the temptation to shortcut the process and to prematurely reach agreement at this stage. Otherwise, you may end up with a suboptimal or mediocre solution based on familiar options. In the worst case, you experience design by committee, where a weak compromise is brokered, and that is the opposite of what a collaborative decision-making process should achieve. So once you've done this, once you've gathered diverse perspectives, then you're ready to take the second step and build shared understanding. And this entails helping people understand each other's views and encouraging them to explore the underlying needs and interests. For example, ask the individuals to explain why an idea is important to them or why they feel strongly about a suggestion. Try and understand their motives and concerns. Give the group the time required to develop a shared understanding, and again, don't rush this step. If people don't understand each other sufficiently, then it will be very difficult, if not impossible, to come up with a solution that everybody can accept. And the third and final step is then to develop an inclusive solution. So once the group has established a shared understanding and people know the reasoning and motivation behind the different suggestions, you're ready to develop an inclusive solution. But this does not mean that you should try to please everyone by cobbling together different ideas, nor does it entail brokering a compromise or agreeing on the smallest common denominator. A truly inclusive solution addresses the needs of everyone present and results in a sustainable agreement, a decision that people will follow through. Tip number 7, use data to make decisions. Knowing your product and its market well is super helpful to make an effective product decision, but don't make the mistake of blindly trusting your gut feeling or following the opinion of the most senior stakeholder. Use data instead to make the decision. If you lack the relevant empirical evidence, then consider pausing the decision-making process and collecting the data required. Say that you're thinking of addressing a new market segment and you are discussing the idea in a collaborative strategy workshop. Some of the attendees, including yourself, have some experience in offering products to this particular segment and are in favor of developing a new product variant for this target group. But you don't have any empirical evidence that supports this view. And if that's the case, then I recommend pausing the decision-making process and carrying out the necessary product discovery work. For example, interviewing prospective users and building throwaway prototypes to test your ideas. Otherwise, you'll risk deciding based on past experience and beliefs, which may or may not result in the right course of action. And my final tip is, secure as much buy-in as possible, but do not allow stakeholders to dictate decisions. When involving stakeholders and development teams in a decision, it's natural to try to generate as much buy-in as possible. I mean, to a certain extent, that's the whole reason why you're doing it. And while I can't emphasize enough how important it is to attentively listen to the individuals and genuinely appreciate their perspectives, ideas, and concerns, you should not make the mistake of trying to please people or to allow individuals to dominate the decision-making process. Instead, I'd encourage you to search for a decision that maximizes the value your product creates. So it moves your product forward in the right way, it progresses your product effectively. And at the same time that this decision is inclusive and that it attracts as much support as possible. So do not agree to a weak compromise. Deciding together does not mean that everybody gets their way or is necessarily super happy. It means leveraging people's expertise, ideas, and concerns, creating a shared understanding, and finding an appropriate solution that attracts as much support as possible. I hope you found my tips helpful. You can learn more about leading the stakeholders and development teams and making effective decisions together by reading my book, How to Lead in Product Management, and by attending my product leadership workshop. Thank you for listening and good luck with your product decisions.